Kevin Stefanski as the fall guy for the Browns' lack of success. A loaded next couple hours here on 92.3 The Fan, but I thought it was really interesting how one of the things to come up today was Myles Garrett's future, and specifically how Myles factors into the coaching situation. Mary Kay Cabot was on with Jeff and Andy in middays today and talked about Jeff Schwartz. Jeff Schwartz?
Jim Schwartz? Jim. Were you doing like a Jeff Shadell thing? I don't know what happened there.
I think a stroke is what I was doing. Jim Schwartz being interviewed for the Browns job and the player support that he has.
I'm pretty sure it seems like they're going to give Jim Schwartz an interview and a really great opportunity to get this job. We know that the defensive players would love for that to happen. And I guess it's just a matter of, do you go that route or do you go with more of an offensive coach or more of a head coach type of person and then try to still keep Jim around as defensive coordinator? But we know how they feel about Jim. Some other guys in the locker room, they love their defensive coordinator, and he is truly a leader of men and all of those kinds of things. It's just a matter if the Browns want him in that role or if they feel that he would be best served here remaining as their defensive coordinator.
I think it's going to be really fascinating, and I think one of the players Mary Kay was talking about is clearly Myles Garrett. We heard Myles go to bat for Jim Schwartz in a way at the end of the season that he didn't go to bat for Kevin Stefanski in a way he never went to bat for Joe Woods, and I think that does put you in a little bit of a quandary if you're the Browns.
Oh, so in that interview, and I don't know why it wasn't in the clip, but in that interview, she says Myles specifically and Denzel Ward both put a big endorsement on Jim Schwartz. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, well, that's our two best players on defense. Like, that's not even a question mark. And so if your two best players are out here advocating, and they're going to always advocate for the guy that they like a ton and the guy they've already worked with and the guy they've had, by the way, a lot of success with. This is how it's how life works, okay? It's not a shock or surprise, but the Browns' response to this, I think, will be interesting and telling.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think part of the figuring out, all right, where are we going to interview you is just, because I think you have to have the conversation. Hey, Jim, what happens if you don't get the head coaching job? Would you consider staying if you don't get the head coaching job?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really tricky situation. Now, again, a good organization that communicates thoroughly. I think if we talk about one thing Andrew does, I think he's good at communication internally. I think he, at the very least, I should be able to trust him to do it. But it's just so weird. Like, I don't think we should consider Jim a front runner. But I do wonder if Myles, he doesn't just publicly said a lot of nice things about Jim, if Myles goes to Andrew Berry and says, hey, this should be the new head coach, I really wonder if you're the Browns, how do you respond? Because it's not just, well, now do we risk losing Jim if we don't hire him? It's also, all right, what does that mean for Myles or some of the other veterans? When you're already watching other veterans leave this team this offseason, like Wyatt Teller, probably Joel Bitonio, Conklin, some of the other, and Joku.
We talked about Flores, for instance. If Flores comes in here and he changes up the defensive front, it puts Myles in a spot that he's not going to necessarily thrive in the way that he did, you know, this last year, breaking the sack record. I think that's a fair assessment. And then let's say Flores wins 5 games out of the gate like he did in Miami, his first year with the Dolphins, like, that leaves you in a pretty bad spot. Like, if you're the defense, then you wonder why did we get rid of this? What happened? Yeah. Why did we go wrong here? This was a roll of the dice we didn't have to take. The guy was right in the building. We didn't have to do this. But it's so hard because you can't just bend to what the players want and the players need. You have to think independently of that.
I also think it's really tough to evaluate Jim. One, because it's been a decade since he was a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Two, because he had Matt Stafford and I believe went to the playoffs once. And they,
Stafford. He had Stafford. He had Calvin Johnson. He had Ndamukong Suh. There was a lot of players on that Lions team.
So it's tough because I think you can look at what he did in Detroit and say, well, he did better than the previous decade of Detroit coaches, and that is a feather in his cap. You can also look and go, well, they also turn around with Jim Caldwell and we're back in the playoffs. I think they went to playoffs twice with Jim Caldwell in 4 years out, and then they fired him, obviously. So I don't know. I don't know that there's a right answer on Jim. I can only tell you how I feel, which is I do want Jim back as the defensive coordinator. I think he certainly earned the right to interview for the job. And I do think that Myles, there's just no way to me that, and it's not about Myles, it's about, I don't think a player should ever name a head coach for you. I don't.
Right.
That's not the player's forte. The player's going to have inside knowledge on Jim Schwartz. The player's going to have a love of a coach. That's great. And you should give some credence to that. But I think the people who are like, well, Miles wants it. No, that's not how this is going to work. It should matter, but it can't matter that much.
You just can't run. You can't run a pro team that way. And like Miles, I get everyone wanting to have him have a say in this, but you can't bend to everything that he wants and then some, because then all you're going to do, where does it end?
Yeah.
Like, where does it end? Miles is then he's going to want to pick the quarterback. He's going to want to pick the head coach. As soon as he's going to want to pick, if you're Andrew Berry, he's going to want to replace you with somebody else. Like if you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. Like at some point you do have to draw a hard line.
Also, even though I don't think we're there with Miles yet, this is a decision that should factor into the next 5 years, right? I don't know. Miles is going to be here for the next 5 years,
right? You got to think beyond these guys.
He's 30 years old, you know, like I think the age of Miles and where he is also matters. But listen, I think Andrew Berry thinks the world of Jim Schwartz. I think that gives him a good chance to at least make a case for this job. I really struggle with do you bump Jim up? I am in agreement with everyone that if you're gonna bump anybody up, it's Jim. And then I'm going to need to hear Jim's OC. I'm going to need to hear who Jim's defensive coordinator is.
The problem with bumping Jim up, too, is you are taking away the thing that actually does make him special with this.
Yeah.
We see this all the time with offensive coordinators. They get the head coaching job, and they're not calling plays anymore. They're not designing, and they're doing so many other facets of the job that it just takes away what they can actually do, and it just becomes a really hard tug and pull. So there is a chance you hire Jim Schwartz as the head coach, and you lose defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz while in the process not really gaining anything as far as a head coach either.
Now, if we're talking about it, I'll go back on. I think Jim is a leader and Jim is a communicator. When we talk about leader of men,
mm-hmm.
which is often stated, misunderstood, I think leader of men, to me, is can you deliver hard truth to players and get through to them? And can you communicate? Like, across the board, can you communicate? I do think Jim has those two things. It just comes down to, can he do all the other 75 things you have to do to be a head coach?
Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of qualities that he has that I think people like, too. Like, even when they were trying to give him the game ball a few weeks back during the season, and he was too busy because he was doing, like, 300-pound bench press or something, and it was just, like, gone in a way. Like, little
That's
things
how I
like
spend
that.
Post-game for the Browns.
That's what he was, like, post-game. He was just doing, like, bench press or something. He was doing some weights, and it was like, we can't find Jim. Where is he? Oh, he's doing bench press right now. Like, it's little things like that that, like, yeah. He's a football guy's football guy. Like, there's no mistaking that when it comes to Jim Schwartz.
I do think it's interesting beyond Schwartz, Miles' role in this. Like, do you go down the list? Like, Miles, Chris Shula, yay or nay, right? Or like, is my like?
Does he go on the camera and also say, "Oh, we got a plan"?
Is
just like he did with the quarterbacks? Now we got a plan.
For $40 million, he'll do just about anything.
We got a plan. Hey guys, that something's gonna happen.
I also think it's interesting. All right, you're asking for Miles' opinion on all candidates, potentially. Well, how can he have them if he's not in the room? Right?
What do you mean?
Well, okay, you're going to Miles and saying, all right, hey, we're really these are our three final candidates.
Oh, you mean if he's not like in the interview room, like seeing what their answers are, seeing everything like that? I think it's more what you do is you ask him honestly, what do you think about Jim Schwartz? And then if he says something negative about it, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, maybe we didn't see some of this thing through. Like that's got to be the extent that Miles actually has in this whole thing.
Yeah,
because you can't have him in interviews. You can't have him doing the gladiator thumbs up, thumbs down for coaches he likes and doesn't like.
It'd be really funny if you did that.
It would be really funny, but. Like, you can't do these things. Again, like, I love Miles, but he's not, we can't give him everything under the sun here. It's not how this is going to work. And it's not how it's worked the entire time.
216-474-0092. Should Miles have a say in the new head coach hire? And what does that look like? I have no problem with Miles going to bat for Jim Schwartz internally. No problem. I don't think that's the thing that overrides everything else. I think it certainly is a feather in the cap of Jim Schwartz's candidacy. It can't be the biggest reason you hire him, but I do think it's got to mean something. I just think it gets really tricky with the other candidates. How do you inform Miles about what you like about them? How does he know, or what does he know of these candidates, and how does he source that information? I think this is kind of a tricky situation. I think you can manage it. It's not the end of the world, but it's something that if you're careless or If you maybe
make him feel involved while also understanding that yes. you don't have to then do exactly everything that he wants and then some. It's make him feel involved.
It's like when I tell my kids, "What do you guys want for dinner? Where are we going
yes,
for dinner?"
Good, yeah, exactly yeah. right.
And then they're like, "Chuck E. Cheese," and I'm like, "Well, we're clearly not doing that." But the difference is when I say right. you can't say to Miles, "Well, we're clearly not doing that."
Now here's where I become a little bit of a hypocrite, or at least I want you to tell me if I am or ain't. I think there's a thing as quarterback privilege. If Patrick Mahomes comes to me and says,
like, white privilege?
Yeah, it's quarterback privilege in the NFL. If okay. if Josh Allen when the Bills fire McDermott comes to me and is like, "Listen, I want a seat at the table. I want a part of this." You know what, Josh Allen, you get a part of this. Patrick Mahomes, you get a part of this as well. I'll give carte blanche to if you are a top four quarterback in the sport, and I might even draw the line at Joe Burrow, okay? I might draw the line at Joe Burrow, but if you're Allen, if you're Mahomes, I'm not doing it. And so Miles, I'm sure, looks at this and is like, "Well, I'm the best defender on planet Earth. I'm the best at my job and my position on my side of the ball. Where's my Myles Garrett privilege?" And I just say it's not the same thing. Like, I'm sorry, you just play a sport where it's not equal.
But how do you let those guys in? Do you let them out? Like, okay.
If Myles Garrett wants a seat at the table, or sorry, if Patrick Mahomes wants in on the interview process, I'd allow it.
No, I let him. I make him take the final three candidates out to dinner and then come back to me. You go do this away from team facility. You go sit down
that's
with them.
Fine. That's fine. Yeah, that's you want to do it that way? That's fine. Yeah. But should Miles get something like that at least? Should you get a dinner? Because I'm all right with that.
Final three candidates, I don't hate it as much.
I like the idea of all three of them too. But the problem though is that if you take all three of them out, then Miles is like,
"Who's he going to take home?"
No, but if Miles is like, "This guy sucked. I hate this guy." You can't hire that guy then. Like the problem with this is that if you bring Miles into this and then Miles staunchly is like, "Listen, the guy was rude to the waiters. He ordered his steak medium well," like just some really,
you think
really
Miles is gonna care if he's rude from the
uncouth things. Then yeah, if he comes on out
he
of it,
he ordered egg tartare.
Like, I can't believe
what
it.
What kind of nerd?
There was so many good
tartare.
Appetizers. I wanted the fried calamari, and he was like, "You think we've had enough appetizers already?"
And then he said,
"Don't
Miles,
you, Miles?"
And they patted his belly like, "Well, thank you." Looking
as
a little rotund
as
there.
If he's Santa Claus or something. Like, but if Miles comes out, it's like, "I hated this guy. I can't stand him." Then you can't hire him. Like, that's the risk of that. If you bring him into this equation this way, you then can't go with the guy if he is staunchly against it.
Brian in Middleburg Heights, what you got for us, buddy?
Hey, I'm wondering, what do we have to do to get Jimmy to stop trying to run this team? Forgive me for asking. But
no, we it doesn't exist.
There's nothing we can
get
do.
Get him to maybe buy an NHL team.
Like, he needs to buy another sports team.
Get a petition going, like a petition that gets like national news, like embarrassing him out of it.
I don't think that's going to work. I don't know if you had to know this, Brian. Billionaires are pretty untouchable.
Although, I don't know, poor shaming the Dolans did work.
I mean, well, you know, the federal government told him that he couldn't run his father's business anymore.
All right, that's a little personal.
And they made him sell it, and he wrote a check for $100 million to not go to a federal prison. Maybe we could get the government involved.
It's actually not a bad cause to stay away from prison.
Yeah.
If you're worth $12 billion, I'd pay $100 million.
I understand the point you're making. Also, I don't know. I don't know we need to go there. I just don't. Like,
no, we don't have to. It's just unnecessary.
Like at this point, like, I think it's fair to keep it above board when it comes to Jimmy Haslam as an owner. I don't even remember anything of the Pilot Flying J stuff anymore. And I think if we go to it, I think it should be a little bit beneath us. Yeah, is it part of the conversation when nobody's on air? Sure, you can have that. On air, guys, he's a bad owner. He's had a really bad stretch here. Here's what we can do. Hope he stops being a bad owner. Stinks. That's your recourse.
And the problem with that is that it just seems like he's just more and more involved at this point. And anytime he's involved, it just doesn't end well for us. The best this thing ever went was when he just kind of stayed away for a couple years.
Maybe the Chicago Blackhawks could be up for sale. I'm
open to all of it.
Just buy a Columbus Blue Jackets. You already own a.
Sure.
Why not an NHL team?
Why not?
They can fire everybody down there and then, you know, run off Giannis of the Blue Jackets, whoever that is.
Hmm.
It's actually also Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's actually secretly.
I think they did, and they did just put someone with the Haslam Sports Group in charge of the Bucks today. That was an official move they did today.
Darn right.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting after it.
Hey, why not? Should Miles have a say in the new head coach hire, John Fanta? Old Jersey John going to react to Kevin Stefanski getting fired, and what's the name for Fanta? Does he have one? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Whether Shador will be here in 2026, I think that's got to be a part of the conversation as well. But Our next guest is supposed to be a gentleman.
Yeah, no, he is most of the time.
He is supposed to be, I believe him to be a good Catholic man, a loving father, loving husband, the face of college basketball for a very
the
long
real
time.
Pillar of the community.
Pillar of the community, and he happened to have lost a burger bet with me. And previous weeks, he has had many a shenanigans trying to wiggle out of this. This is a come to John moment.
He's single-handedly changed what it means to be described as a MILF.
That's true. Many people love Fanta. That many people say that.
It's completely changed the whole definition.
We got Jersey John Fanta, NBC Sports, on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. All right, Jersey John, how you doing?
Make it right, and you owe me that hamburger. Nice extra pickles, pepper jack cheese, little bacon, ready to go.
This is a pivotal moment in every man's life
where he's just got to be honest with himself and the people around him. I'm going to need you to...
Okay, so it was a Price is Right bet? Is that what it was?
Or was it
an over 5.5?
It was a very simple bet. It was you took six wins and over... And I, you knew this. You're doing this, and you don't know this, but I have to be angry about something else right now.
Come on.
Just admit what the bet was. Admit you didn't realize what you're signing up for, at which point we will remind you.
And Mac Robinson is heading to the monitor. The previous play is under further review.
I'm going to review something for you.
Go ahead. Look, I'll take the loss. Congratulations. I'll give you your burger.
Yeah, you'll take the loss because you lost.
There we go. I mean, it was begrudgingly, but there we go.
That's how this goes.
Well, 5 is closer to 6. I thought it was...
John, there's ways around this. You can give them, like, the lowest quality, cheapest burger imaginable. Like, we can make this work. There's protest among the burger bets.
You're right. I will get you the Hugh Jackson hero.
See?
Yeah, and you can do it.
And waffle fries.
All right, John, Kevin Stefanski fired. Did the Browns make the right decision?
Well, they made the right decision to fire him. You can't win 8 games over the last 2 years and keep your job. But they should have completely reset the organization. And I just don't understand how the justification... If you, as the owner, have to come out yesterday... before anybody asks a question and start to explain why you did something over the course. I mean, that presser went like 11 minutes total. 5 of the minutes was him justifying why he was keeping the general manager. It's like if when we were growing up, one of us did something in the backyard that was troublesome and we went into the house and we tried to give a long and winding 2 or 3 minute explanation to one of our parents about why we did something. And it's like, by the end of it, you just dug yourself a hole. The moment that the owner said that one of the reasons why the GM had earned the ability to keep his job was that they had found their kicker when they literally gave the prior kicker an extension in 2024, that being Dustin Hopkins, that's when I had to laugh. I was cackling listening to that long and winding road of, Tyson Campbell and trying to showcase the different signings and different things that have been done. At the end of the day, you're 1-for-6 on drafts. 1-for-6. There's no disputing that. And you're 1-for-1 in your last draft. So I guess it's what have you done for me lately? Well, that's why he is still a general manager, and maybe there was a power play when Paul D. Podesta steps out. They made the right call firing Stefanski. I just don't think that there's evidence that suggests that keeping one person in the regime and not the other ever works, but that's what they're electing to do. I totally disagree with that line of thinking, but you have to move on, and he's managing this search, or at least that's what the language of the owner is. So let's see who Andrew Berry can find to coach the team that aligns with his viewpoints.
Well, let's dive into it.
Actually, real quick, I don't know if we brought this up on air. I can't recall if it was in Katie's 2020. That's not a shot. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter saying Kevin Stefanski will interview Wednesday for the Giants job.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you this.
Sorry. So we did talk about it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. All right, he's going to get that job, by the way.
No, no, no. The whole interview is actually in response to the welching on this burger bet. It's going to be Nick interrupting every single question to be like, breaking news. We now have this.
Oh, by the way, Mary Kay Cabot quote tweeting saying, Giants wasting no time to land the hottest candidate in the market.
There we go. There. How about that?
And they will land him.
Your name on the inbox is Jersey John, by the way. We've stripped you of your Ohio nature because that was back when you were good and pure and paid on bets.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, by the way, everybody here in this area wants Kevin Stefanski. It's amazing today.
In New York?
They do. Yes. Yep. They can't wait. Because their belief is that, I mean, this is, I'm not saying this is mine. Like, Kevin lost games this year. He lost his ability to be the Cleveland Browns head coach. By the way, I don't know. I don't know where you two stand on this. Like, Kevin is not a bad human being. I wish him the best going forward. I'm not going to hate watch our prior coach. Like, that is so dumb to exert energy doing that. And so whatever he does, good luck to him. But, like, I'm not going to get hung up on this. He doesn't occupy space in my brain. But, yes, out here, the take is that the Browns' systematic flaws lended itself to his downfall in Cleveland, and there's still a good NFL coach in there. Now, this gets coupled with the fact that the Giants have not been able to find a competent coach for years, and so they're looking for someone to settle their organization down. And their hope is that that's Kevin Stefanski. They have zoned in on Kevin Stefanski. The people around New York and New Jersey have no problems with him being the guy. They are very hopeful that they hire him.
All right, who have you zoned in on, and who do you want?
Well, you know, I am very intrigued by Jesse Minter. I know the talking heads talked about the name, because when I look at the way that hires are being made right now in the NFL, like, I see this Todd Monken news. He's 59, and, you know, he's been here before, so I guess there's familiarity, but I don't like the way things have ended up there in Baltimore, and I'm just not a fan of that. To me, you know, I look at Seattle, who hires a Mike McDonald and transforms that organization. Now, that's what Mike has been able to do at the age of 38, and I think you've got to look young. I think you've got to look at a guy who comes in and is respected and, you know, is able to captivate a building and cultivate that type of atmosphere. And I've heard a lot of really good things about Minter and his ability to do that. You know, around the league, he is revered as a guy who certainly could be that type of guy. You know, I stay out west. I mean, what Seattle's done, I think Clint Kubiak is going to get a job. And, you know, the Falcons are going to talk to him. I don't know why the Browns wouldn't talk to him. I think that he should be on the radar. I know you talked about Brian Flores. But I'm okay with Brian Flores. Brian Flores is a talented coach, and he's been through some stuff, but I think that guy, there's a winner in there, and I think there's a guy that wants redemption and wants to prove to people that he can do this and get to the playoffs and make things happen for an organization. He's tough. He's hard-nosed. His teams play hard. They have played hard. And, you know, I think he deserves another chance to be in that role. And if it comes in Cleveland, I would love to see it. So, look, those are the three names, you know, that I look at, Boris, Minter, and Kubiak. Those are the names that I'm intrigued by, but I just think, I really hope that they can get somebody, you know, who brings this fresh energy and brings an aggressive nature about him. Am I in favor of Jim Schwartz staying? I'm good with it. We all love Jim Schwartz. One thing I would say is, what organization, what sound and competent organization, you know, is going to force any DC on the head coach? I'm not saying that the Browns are doing that. I'm not saying that. But I don't know if I love the owner saying, you know, I want to keep him. Like, the Browns got to let their coach be the guy. They can't be doing puppet master stuff from behind the scenes. Maybe that never happens, but, like, with the next guy. But it did happen with Stefanski. Stefanski listened to his bosses and did things that his bosses told him to do. He's to blame for in-game lack of management, but the Browns have to let the guy that they hire do his job. It's a huge sticking point for me in this.
John, should Myles Garrett have a say or have a role in this coaching search?
No. He should not have a say in it. I mean, come on. What are we talking about? He's a player.
Miles Garrett, and whether or not he would have a role in this coaching search.
He should not have a role in the. He's a outstanding player. I mean, what do you define as role? Him saying who he wants?
Sure. Or him at least offering a voice on what he thinks of each candidate. Certainly stumping for Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, but is Jim Schwartz, to me, is not a head coach in the National Football League in 2026. We've seen how that's ended for Jim Schwartz before as a head coach.
You just don't like 59-year-olds.
Yeah. You seem like a real ageist there for a little bit.
It's not that. It's not that I don't like 59-year-olds. Miles' voice is smarter than the other people that we're talking about here.
And a flip-flop.
The players are the players. You know, he could suggest who he wants. He's not making the decision.
Wait,
he's
are you flip-flopping back?
I don't know.
I can't tell.
I don't know anymore, John.
Where you are.
He's not making the hire, guys. He's not making the hire. So, like, when you give someone that ability, then if they make a suggestion and you don't go their direction, does that mean he's going to be crabby because you didn't pick his guy?
And usually that sounds
that's
about
how that
it works.
Yeah, that's my thought on it too, John. Is like if you welcome him to the table.
This isn't LeBron James. It's not.
All right, but what if you hire the wrong guy and Miles decides he doesn't want to be here?
Go for it. Okay. Like, enough. Enough with that culture. The culture ends now. You don't want to be here? Get out. Like, he's a Hall of Fame player. He's an outstanding player, and I think he's a great human. He's done a ton of good for Cleveland. But if you don't want to be here, you know, then fine. Like, I don't want guys who don't want to be here. You know, and that's why I don't call him and involve him in the search, because if I involve him in the search and I pick someone that's solely influenced by one player, that's incompetence. That's not smart football. That's not how I don't think that's how a lot of organizations work. You know, to me, Miles Garrett, I'm not denying his talent here, but I am denying the players running a search or heavily influencing a search. And if he doesn't want to be here, well, guess what? You've been a part of 8 wins yourself the last 2 years. You've been a very talented player, but I'm sorry, you haven't been a part of what we're looking for as an organization. You know, the players don't run the team. The people running the team, I don't agree with them. But the players do not, there's a reason why they're not general managers.
It's because they haven't finished playing yet.
Your guess now, John. Will Shador be the starting quarterback week one, 2026?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that he has a shot, a solid shot, but I really think that there will be a true August competition. And I think that the first year head coach, will end up going to the veteran route with that competition. That's where I stand with Shador. I'm really torn on it, guys, as you can hear in my answer. And you can joke and kid with me about flip-flopping. I'm concerned about some of the things I still see with timing and with some decision-making. And this is why this next hire is so interesting. I mean, I almost want you to ask me once the next hire is made, but you're asking me now. And so if I had to answer today, I don't think the Browns are fully committed to Shador Sanders. I think you can sense it in the answers. I think they're going to evaluate the market. I think they're going to hold a real competition in August. And I think there's a reason why they would bring in a veteran quarterback. I think that he could win a camp battle. And you know why I partially say that? Because this organization put Dylan Gabriel ahead of Shador Sanders.
John, I got what I wanted out of this interview, so I'm very happy right now. I look forward to the succulent burger that you're going to send my way. You're a gentleman again. You're not just Jersey John. You're Cleveland's own John Fanta, and we appreciate you, buddy.
Peterlin agrees with me on the Miles Garrett thing, right?
Oh, 100%. That was like a big,
what do you
yeah,
mean?
For sure.
You said three different things, John.
No. I got your main point. Your main point was heard, and I agree with it, and man, I love Fanta.
Right.
That's right.
And Wilson did not agree.
I think Nick did, right?
I did. Yeah, I just thought, I was like, we had chosen a couple different directions. You broke my ankles a couple times.
Oh, boy. Well, that's not hard to do. Talk to you guys next Tuesday.
Bye, John.
See you next Tuesday, John. John Fanta, NBC Sports, on the Make It Right Call Kyle Wright Hotline, joining us today. Great stuff with him. We'll react to what he had to say about the coaching search and more in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. It is wild to me, the send-up he's getting from the Giants. I do think Kevin will have some success in New York. It might not be. It might be as much as Brian Daboll had, which is a playoff win and a playoff trip. I don't think Kevin's going to go there and fall flat on his face. I think it really helps that I think he has Jackson Dart, and I think he likes Jackson Dart. So I'm not projecting Kevin's going to be an abject disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But guys, they hated Pat Shurmur in New York as much for off-the-field reasons as they did football reasons, because Pat said nothing and was a bland personality.
Yeah, and if you don't say it in New York, they'll say it for you. And yes, that gets really, a lot of people, they tire on that very, very quickly. But Fanta did notice, or at least point out, that right now they're looking for a calming presence. They're looking for someone that is basically just going to, and that Stefanski is that. You can say a lot of things about Stefanski, but that man...
But isn't that... So this is my concern.
He's not human Red Bull.
I think the worst coaching searches are, I'm looking for a coach that wasn't our last coach.
Which in many ways is kind of what this coaching search for ourselves is turning into,
I don't think it's a good one. Like, for instance... Well, okay, for instance, I personally don't want a guy just because he's called plays and people think
about
him.
Think about how many people have gone and said, leader of men. And you've been one of these people, right? Yeah. Leader of men. And where does that come from? The idea that Stefanski was the opposite of a leader of men.
But he could be a leader of men and have called plays. But I think, you know what I mean?
For sure. But
like,
I think,
I'm not going to throw him out because, well, he's an offensive coordinator or whatever.
No, but I think we do this. I think we do this in all areas of life, too, by the way. If all of a sudden we're in a relationship and that one was missing for some reason, something, next relationship, you probably want that person to fulfill whatever you thought you were missing. Like, I think it's a human nature thing.
Yeah, but
and so it's understandable why Giants fans would be thinking that was chaos. Let's get back to normal, even if it's not something that you should think about long term.
Yeah, but I think it's just again, I'm not saying the Giants are doing this. I'm not saying New York media is doing this. There is an element of that's a little reductive. That's a little bit of a reductive reason to want Kevin Stefanski, right? Like, if you say, I think Kevin Stefanski and Jackson Dart fit together.
I do think it's one of the reasons why he is as desired as he is. Like, Stefanski, I don't think is a great head coach by any stretch of the measure. I maintain he's only as good as whatever roster will basically be able to uplift him or take him down. But he does the other things really right.
I think to some degree, Kevin is Kevin is not a media construction. Kevin does things well as a head coach, even if it's not being a leader of men, even if I think his communication, I think we saw a lot of evidence that he's not a naturally great communicator, where he just, his message goes all the way down and everybody's kind of on the same page. Those are things I think you have to be a great head coach. I think Kevin's a good head coach, but I think this narrative of Kevin as the favorite for the, this is a media aided thing. And I get it. I really will not be rooting against Kevin Stefanski. And that's another thing that John said. I think it's entirely possible to root for the Browns to get the right guy and root for the next head coach and root for Kevin to have whatever the most success he's going to be able to have elsewhere. It's not going to be great if he does really well and the Browns do poorly, but it's on the table because it's the Browns, for the love of God. But I just continue to look back at this and it shouldn't be open and shut for Kevin in New York. That's ridiculous. Like, I really am uncomfortable with basically greasing the skids for any coach. And it's just and it's everybody that I've heard in New York media that is just, I guess it's Stefanski. There's something about this to me from the New York side that feels very, there's a lack of thought to me that
I'm trying to find out what the big driving stake is for you here, because I think it's just an easy connecting of the dots. If he is the bell of the ball in this coaching search,
well, but
and the Giants are always,
I don't
always
think he should be the bell of the ball.
They're always going to perceive themselves. Well, who is the bell of the ball?
There isn't. I don't think there has to be a bell of the ball. I think here's the thing. When you project a bell of the ball, when you project he's Vrabel of this class, or he's the Ben Johnson of this class, and there's no one that actually fits that mold, I think you're gonna screw yourself over really easily. Like, there is nobody.
Well, I think you're making a Ben Kevin. Johnson. You're making Vrabel. You're not doing this right. But I do think in every coaching search, there's somebody that is perceived to be the best of the group or the most favorited son, whatever you want to call it.
But there's no coach in this class worth not doing a real coaching search.
No, and they'll do a real coaching search for. I'm sure they will. But
why,
like,
is everybody acting like it's a done deal? I think the contract's been signed.
This is clearly what they want. I mean, fans get to be this way.
So, and I agree, by the way. So I'm not arguing with you. Yeah. I just think it's interesting if they've already decided they want Stefanski.
I mean, think about the guy we had on
before, and you haven't interviewed the guy.
Think about the guy we had from Tennessee.
Wild. Like, this is not, he has not had the kind of success of, like, well, I haven't talked to him yet, but he's the guy.
No, but there are certain searches you can have where you're like, well, if this guy became open, we just did this with Harbaugh at 320.
Like, you mean Harbaugh, a guy that's won a Super Bowl, won 13 playoff games in his career?
You can look at a head coach and say, I love this fit. I love this. If this happens, I'm thrilled. And I think that's what Giants fans are doing right now. We disagree with it because we don't think that much of Stefanski. But you can, as a fan, sit there and say, yeah, this is my dream scenario. Yeah, this is what I want to play out.
I think that's what Giants fans are doing right now. Isn't that point of the media, though? Isn't this where the media has to wake up and be like, well, he did have 8 wins in 2 years.
They don't want to. And listen, we know it because we lived it.
But can we just admit it? That's crazy.
Well, I think we have been, me and you, for a while. We've been admitting that this is crazy, the whole entire thing. The fact that I watched a lot of FS1, as you know, and I heard all sorts of different hosts yesterday going through how the Browns are Brownsing this thing up again. National media members talking about how Stefanski's this and Stefanski's that. And I wanted to, like, message some of these guys and be like, here's the real rub on this.
Well,
they don't want to hear it.
I'll tell you right now.
They don't want to hear it.
I will predict it, unless it'll be Ken. FAN will not have somebody from Cleveland on to talk about this, because they've already made up their mind that Kevin Stefanski's the right guy, and they don't want to hear anything to the contrary. They don't.
Well, that's bad. That's bad radio by them, because if I were them, I'd be dying to have someone like us come on and poke holes in all the little ways that they think that Stefanski's good, and this is Cleveland guy coming in here.
That's you and I.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's how we think.
Yeah.
But that's not most, in fairness,
that's not most radio guys. I just, you know, big bad WFAN, and they're just going to go out there and speak a little, 2-time coach of the year. Okay. That's a reason to hire a guy. Yep. A bunch of writers got together and voted for an award. And by the way, it's like a tie with D'Amico Ryan's the second year. But I'm going to trust NFL writers who I'm sure watch every single game in the NFL. Hey, offensive mind.
I mean,
have you seen the offenses?
This just seems like the same convo we've been having for months now, where it's like the national media just doesn't, they're not on the same page with where we are locally with Kevin Stefanski.
Well, but I think it's listen, every single coach in this coaching search, I think as us, the station, I think there's going to be some guys I might gravitate to. You're going to gravitate towards other guys. I don't expect us all to be on the same page, but no matter who's there, there's going to be reasons you hire him, and there's going to be reasons you don't. I'm seeing Stefanski turn into Kyle Shanahan before my eyes with this gilded path to the Giants head coach.
And they're lying to themselves in many ways.
And it is bat bleep crazy.
They're trying to convince themselves.
You're doing this.
They're desperate. They're trying to convince themselves of this.
But you don't have to be desperate.
What do you think they are?
Anyone that is desperate can simply take a damn second and go, all right, we're maybe acting out of desperation. We don't need to. And that's what I hope the Browns are doing, by the way. Because I'm seeing these coaching searches happen. And it just, half of these coaching searches just seemed like somebody copy and pasted one of Schefter's tweets from about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he's like, of course we should interview Lou Anarumo. Why? What makes that guy one of the 10 guys you should talk to? Matt Nagy, what in the blue hell has that guy done as a head coach beyond Pat Shermer?
But this is why Stefanski's getting a little bit of a glow up here is because you look around and there's not much to excite you.
Well, but again, there are plenty of good, smart football people in the world. Are you trying to win? Are you trying to sell tickets? Are you trying to make fans happy? Are you trying to this looks like a head coach. This feels like a head coach. I don't know. It seems like a lot of the Stefanski New York thing. Again, Kevin can be successful. And I think in that scenario, I expect Kevin to have some success. I think he likes Jackson Dart. I think liking a quarterback is such a huge thing for head coaches and play callers like Kevin. And I think that's significant. He never had a Malik Nabers here. All right, totally fair. I think that defense has more pieces than people realize. That team shouldn't be a 3-win team next year. At the same point, Your process to naming the coach matters as much as who you name as the coach. You have to get the process right. And if you don't, honestly, this feels like it.
We still don't really know their whole process on this. They're interviewing them on Wednesday, but like just because fans and talk stations are getting excited about it,
reporters are saying,
but it doesn't mean it's done. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's locked in. It doesn't mean it's over.
Reporters aren't doing this off sourced information.
Did they say it was locked in?
Many people are saying that.
Give me the reporter, and then I'll listen.
Mary Kay calling him the top candidate on the market and saying the Giants are moving fast on Kevin Stefanski.
You said New York people, though. You didn't say Mary Kay. You said New York people.
I was national people. I think it was reacting to the Schefter thing.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, I didn't know this was a done deal with Stefanski to New York. I've heard a lot of people take early victory laps on it, like Orlovsky. I didn't know it was a done deal. And they're clearly, they haven't even done the interview with him yet.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
I know. Like they haven't done it yet. Like
the formality. That's what we're going to call it.
You think it's a formality? You think this is that far gone?
That's how people are presenting it. Again, that's how this Kevin is the guy.
I mean, but the stem from Fanta saying all his people in New York, and then you saying you listen to New York sports talk radio. Like we don't know their search. We don't know what they're actually doing. It's not a foregone conclusion.
When he's named as the coach on Friday, do I get to take a victory lap?
Yes, if it happens on Friday, you get a victory lap.
Specifically on Friday?
Yes, Friday.
But if it happens on Saturday, I'm discredited.
Well, they still would have done a whole search, an exhaustive search, if they go 3 weeks from now.
What's an exhaustive search if they interview
3 weeks from now?
If Kevin Stefanski's a guy, I'm right. 216-474-0092.
If you want to put a burger on it?
Oh, do you want to put a burger on it?
You've made us late for 5 o'clock now. Get to break.
Oh, look at you, Johnny Rulebook over there.
Always.
The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.